Am I on? There we go. It is so encouraging to me as we get into worship to hear the clanking sounds of these folding chairs being passed out and adding in a few extra rows there in the back. I'm so thankful that we have a little bit more space for us to be able to grow and to worship together. I'm thankful that we can be family. And Lord willing, we are moving forward into a place where we can continue to worship together. We will continue to have our online services for those that need to be at home, but for those that are thinking about it, we want to encourage you that there's still space available, and we have a few more folding chairs that we could open up and welcome you into our service as well. I am still walking on cloud nine from last week. I just really enjoyed the service and the fellowship and the presentation of our deacons, and I just want to say, deacons, wives, all ministry leaders, thank you so much for what you did the last couple of weeks to get us to a place to be able to make those announcements and presentations. To have 12 different ministries presented in 25 minutes, that should be one of those miracles that's included in the Gospels. It was wonderful. 2 weeks ago, I started this series of Unfolding Our Talents. And I want to review just a couple of quick points with you as we get started, as we think about what the deacons were presenting to us and the opportunities that we now have to participate in what God has called us to do. Number one, I want us to identify our talents, our God-given talents. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter teaches, he says, Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others or to give or to lead. And he specifies that each of us have been given a God-given talent. I want us to understand that God gives talent to all. And I want us to be able to identify and then to use our talent or talents, as the case may be for many of us. That God has given us an opportunity to use our voice, our strength, to use our leadership, to use our organizational skills, to use our cooking abilities or whatever it may be for blessing and serving both within this family and within our community. 2 weeks ago, we shared several scriptures that kind of outline a variety of what our gifts and talents might be. And as we as a congregation strive to use our time, talent, and treasure for God's glory, I want us to be able to identify, to really search that out. And if you are wondering, what is my talent? How can I use it? I want you to saddle up next to one of our elders and ask them to help you and lead you and guide you and mentor. I want you to go to our deacons and say, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. I want us to use our God-given talents. We talked 2 weeks ago, the talents must grow and develop. Just because I have an ability, or just because I believe that God is leading in this direction, does not mean in every place along the way. If you come to my house in a couple weeks for our praise and potluck next month, we're inviting the congregation to come out and sing with us and fellowship with us on the second Friday of next month. I'm going to share a short little video of my first preaching experience. And while I was encouraged to go that route, you will see that I had to grow in that ability. And I've still got a long ways to grow in the ability of speaking and presenting. As our congregation grows and develops, I want to continue to grow as well. But a mature talent is going to bless others. It's going to impact others, and it's going to make a difference in their life. And as we utilize our God-given talents, I want us to dream and understand that we want to give back graciously, overwhelmingly to God. I want us to have the gumption to really give to God. I want us to understand that He is calling us to something special. Now today I want to share with you this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2 real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here Paul is writing to Timothy, his disciple, one that he is training in faith. And I want you to see this idea of four generations of faith real quick. Listen to what Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "And the things that you have heard me say, You, Timothy, have heard me, Paul, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. You, Timothy, have heard me say, me, Paul, say in front of many others, now let's entrust them to go share this with others so that they will be teachers. I want you to see these four generations. There's an initiator of faith within our lives. For some of us, that's our parents. For some of us, that's a godly mentor, a teacher, or somebody, a coach who came along us and pointed us towards what God was doing in our life. Now we are people of faith. We are recognizing that God has given us a talent, or God has given us His Word, and we get an opportunity to share. We're going to teach that to our children, to our spouse. We're going to share that with our family. And then we're going to see that grow as they then share that with those that are in our world or in their lives. These four generations are so important for us to be able to really see what it is to utilize our God-given talents. There's an initiator. Then it comes to us. And then we pass it on to others, and we encourage them to pass it on to still a fourth generation. This idea really gives us this understanding that we all have a God-given talent. And since He has instilled in us something that is valuable, then I want us to be leaders and learners in that God-given talent. I want us to utilize and act upon that gift. But I want us not to just be conceited or arrogant or ignorant. I want us to continue to learn how to grow and develop to be more like God in that use of that talent. And this idea of being a leader and a learner brings me to this idea that we should never walk alone. That there should be someone that we are seeking to learn from, and there's someone that we are seeking to mentor, to help, to bless along the way. I remember a time in Japan. We had two little ones at the time. And Kara had given me this gift to go up to this northern island. It's kind of like a Colorado or Alaska part of Japan. It's pretty rugged and mountainous. There's lots of wildlife. And in the winter, it's snowy and beautiful. We went up there late in the summer. We had this beautiful experience. And one day, as we were camping, we went out to this lake. This lake is a sunken volcano. And it's just filled now with rainwater. There's no rivers coming into this lake. And so it is just crystal clear, 100 or so feet deep. And Kara and I, with two little ones on our backs, we started down this trail. And we didn't time it just right because our kids were kind of getting ready for a nap and getting fussy. And before long, we got into this really heavily brush area. And they had cut kind of a tunnel in the brush. I mean, they just kind of trimmed down some of the brush. And so you had to walk down, and the kids weren't liking all the leaves in their face. And so after just a mile or so of that, we turned back and went back to the campground, and Kara put the boys down for a nap. As we're sitting outside in our lawn chairs, she said, "You know what? You should just go. The kids are going to be asleep. You should just go do that hike. Go enjoy." I'm a good Boy Scout, and I know you're never supposed to hike alone. You're always supposed to be prepared. But this was my opportunity, and off I went. I did think enough to get a water bottle and a couple of granola bars for my hike. And so off I go. I get started, and sure enough, I'm right in the middle of this brush, and this is heavy brush. And so you kind of have to walk through like this, and it's a couple miles of this before you come to the other side of the lake, and then you get to walk along the kind of the top part and see this beautiful vista. And before long, you get to the other end, and there's this high point right on the side of this lake, and you're looking out over this volcanic ring and this water that's just so crystal clear. And I just sat there and enjoyed the moment. And it was one of those moments, you know, just as the sky is like that mellowing red-yellow and the breeze is soft. Took a sip of water and didn't have one of those fancy cameras that we now have. But I had a regular camera, so I had to turn it on and trying to take a selfie, and I don't know what it's going to look like. And here I am enjoying this moment. And it dawns on me. The sun is setting. and I don't have a flashlight. And I've got a couple miles to get back to my car. And so I pack up my stuff, I come down off of that high point, and I start making my way around. And as I get a couple miles in, the sun has now fully set, and it's fully into dusk and dark. And I get into this heavy brush. And as I go through that, it just gets darker and darker and darker. And I pull out, you know, maybe some of you will remember those old flip phones that didn't have a flashlight on it in those days. Can you believe that? It just had this big old screen, and that was my flashlight as I'm going through this brush, and I'm trying to hold on, see what's going on, and I'm trying to make it back as quickly as possible, because I know probably at the campsite the boys are hungry, and Kara's at the end of her, she needs help. Two boys at camp. And I'm going through, and the brush is all around me, and I'm not making this up. We're in the northern wilderness area of Japan. And I just hear this. And I don't know if you've ever heard a bear outside the zoo, but it does something to your heart. That's not good. And suddenly I realize that I'm not where I want to be. And I begin in this crouch position to go as quickly as possible through this brush. And a minute or two goes by, and I hear this other. I'm like, no way. This guy is tracking me through all this brush. He is staying right with me. And so I begin to walk as slowly as possible to hear any sort of sticks crack or leaves rustle. And there's not a sound at all. I'm using my little flashlight. And I'm picking up a rock or a stick, whatever I can, because I'm about to do battle with a bear. And as I'm walking quietly, I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything. So I start to walk a little bit faster and a little bit faster. And I'm going through this brush, trying to pick up a little bit more speed, thinking maybe I've gotten out of harm's way. And as I'm getting close to the parking lots, I can see the lights coming in my vision here. And once again, I hear this, and I realize it was my backpack rubbing against the brush. Never walk alone. We know that, right? As we were talking last week about all these ministries, I was thinking about what we as a church often do. Through COVID, what we have done, maybe out of necessity, maybe out of ignorance, maybe out of fear, but many of us have been walking alone. And we have been missing the opportunities that God has implanted within His church. I want to share with you five things that I think are valuable as we think about 2 Timothy 2, this idea of four generations, as we think about what God has given to us in terms of talents and opportunities, that five things that help us to see that our walk should never be alone. First thing that I want to share with you is this A, appreciated. Think about this for a minute, especially deacons. Deacons and elders are ministry leaders. Do you remember the time when someone came to you and tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, we have got a real problem within our church, and I think you would be great to help us fix that. I mean, they're expressing this challenge, and then they tap you on the shoulder, and you realize, yeah, maybe I could do something about that situation. For a brief moment, didn't you feel appreciated? Didn't you feel like, wow, someone really sees that there is a talent or skill within me? I mean, isn't that what we all feel when the teacher finally calls on us? I mean, for me, it took many, 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 many grades before the teacher recognized my skills and talents. But it felt good when they finally said, hey, Matt, you would be really good at taking the trash out. We feel appreciated. We feel valued when someone comes on to us and says, hey, here's a challenge. Here's a situation. Here's a need. And you would be perfect for this situation. Appreciation But sometimes in our mind, we think, if I've got a situation that is too challenging, too difficult, too whatever, I don't want to give that off to somebody. I don't want to share that with anybody. I will just have to begrudgingly take on that task and do it all myself. God has placed us, look around this room, with so many talents and blessings. If you were here last week, about 100 of us enjoyed a meal like we have never had before. Because there are so many talented people. Joe and her team did a wonderful job of providing a meal. I don't know how you go about providing a meal for 100 people and making sure that there's enough food and just the right balance of all of that. But Joe and her team do that so well. Sometimes the difficulty of what is before us scares us. Feel like we've got too many irons in the fire, too much challenge in our life, and we don't know how to initiate or to involve other people. And we're afraid because we think what we're going to ask them is going to be a burden. We really could look around the room right now. There's many people who are just dying to be asked to do something within their talent field, even if it is a challenging task. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to look attractive because it fits within what God has designed them to do. The second is an L. This is for leader. I want to remind us that God has given us a talent. Elders, deacons, ministry leaders, members, all of us, that God has given each of us a talent. He has called us not to be reserved and sit back, to hold back, to wait, but to be leading, to be going in. I want us to think about the firefighter who shows up as the house is aflame and they just sit in the engine waiting for instruction. No. The firefighter pulls up, he jumps out of the truck, he grabs his equipment, he runs right into the fire because he knows what he has is going to be needed and wanted and valued and appreciated in just a moment. He doesn't need to be asked. He doesn't wait for the situation to get better. He jumps right in. How many of us are sitting with our God-given talents, waiting while the house is just burning? We are called to be leaders, to be instigators. And if it feels scary to go alone, then bring a mentor. Bring someone, a mentee along with you that's going to help you. You're going to help them understand what's going on. You're going to teach them, and they are going to participate with you. If you're afraid about how to get going, then find somebody who's going to train you, teach you, who's already doing it, who's going to be involved in all of this. I remember a few years ago, we were living in California. I went to Oklahoma to see this tornado that had just ripped through a major part of Moore, Oklahoma. Huge, wide swath of destruction. And as me and his friend were walking through, we saw this, I believe it was like a Toyota Camry. The hood and the back bumper were literally wrapped around a tree and almost touching on the other side. That's how fast and violent this storm was. Homes were just ripped off of their foundations, and there was nothing but a driveway left for some. Others, it was popsicle sticks. Others, you could see that it looked like the house was almost still intact except for the roof or a side wall. We found this one man who was there, a homeowner. This is day two after the storm. And he'd come to clean up things and get things prepared. And somehow he found this small piece of plywood and he picked that up. And we were out delivering meals for the workers and for the homeowners. And so we came up and we tried to offer him some sandwiches or some drinks, and he wouldn't have any of that. And we watched him with his little plywood. And he'd walk from the garage to the back corner of the house, kind of look around and frustrated, walk over to the backyard. And he just did circles around his house all morning long until we had delivered out all of our food. He just was holding on to this. Didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. And he just kept being in this daze. I mean, granted, around us was this mass destruction. His home was in total shambles. He was now living in some hotel with a bunch of other people around that neighborhood. And I don't know exactly how you would get started. But during our break, I met one of the ministers in a nearby church who a couple years ago had lost his home to a tornado. And he had walked through a lot of the insurance and a lot of the challenge issues. He knew some of the steps that were needed. He came out with us right after lunch, and we found this homeowner again who was just doing circles, still holding on to this piece of plywood. This minister who had experienced a tornado just stepped right up and said, "Hey, sir, can I give you a suggestion? Would you take care of this task?" And he had him go into the house and find one thing that was visible. The man said, "I can do that." So he put his plywood down, he went in, and he got that one thing. He said, let's just put this right here on the driveway. "Now, would you go in and let's get one more thing?" And as he does that, he kind of breaks free from a little bit of this trance that he's in. This minister says, "Hey, I've got a couple things else that we need to do, but why don't we first have a sandwich?" And they sit down together, and they share this little sandwich meal together. The minister explains about his tornado experience and some of the things that he's endured. And after lunch, this homeowner is now in a different state of mind. He's ready to start to tackle the tasks that are before him. And this minister says, "Hey, here's what you need to do. 1, 2, 3. We got to get these things going, because every hour we delay, the insurance agencies are going to be backlogged. It's going to take longer for your payments and help to come through. And so we just got to make the most of this right now. Would you go do these 3 things? And he sends him off, and the homeowner is a changed man. I want to remind you that your skills and talents, the trauma and the drama that you've been through, might be the right blessing for somebody in this very moment. If we would be leaders, if we'd be instigators in joining in somebody else and their life, that we would take the initiative, your trials, your solutions, the way that you've walked through life might really be a blessing for them. Number 3, letter is O. Opportunity. This is our invitation to see that something greater can develop. Just like this minister seeing this homeowner, he sees that something can happen with this guy if he would just take a few steps. The same may be for us as we try to lead, as we try to help people. If we try to recognize where we are and the help that we need, and we invite somebody to lead us, wouldn't that make a great difference? Sometimes we don't understand what's going on around us. There are some who live in this world who see nothing but problems. And maybe you've had some of those friends that every situation is just confounding to them, frustrating to them. They only see the negative side of things, and they need someone to come in and point them in the right direction. But then there's a good number of us who don't even see the problems. I mean, life is just hunky-dory, happy-go-lucky, and as long as the sun is shining, as long as I'm this side of the, you know, whatever, I'm doing fine. I've got a friend. They have lived through 2 churches that have diminished and declined. Have no clue what's going on and why their churches have literally dissolved in front of them. They're part of a congregation that's gone almost from 600 down to about 150 in the last 6 years. You talk to them and they are just happy-go-lucky. They are optimistic and see no problems at all. They need a leader who sees the opportunity to explain the problems so that they can solve that, so that they can work to a better solution. Nobody wants to be a part of a church that is getting smaller and smaller and dying and dissolving and wasting away. We want to be a part of something that's growing, exciting. It's reaching new boundaries and solving new problems with the new talents that God continues to provide. We want to be a part of something that's significant, don't we? And being a leader speaks to us of lives. Or it speaks to those who only see the problems and never see the solutions that are at hand. And the end would be the new, what God is providing for us. You think about the world and going through this pandemic these last 2 years versus the Spanish flu that ripped through our world nearly 100 years before. Churches experienced those 2 pandemics significantly different. Why? Well, we have new technology. We have new ways of communication and connection in our world. And so we've been able to bring a stream and technology into our services. We've been able to create a variety of things. God has brought into our congregation at just the right time a new set of talents and resources that have been a blessing to us. You are never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. I believe that there are far better things in front of us than the things that we've experienced in the past. I believe that the opportunities ahead of us are great. But living in an old style over and over again will dry us out and we will miss the opportunities. I got this card this last week. I think this person has visited in person maybe once or twice in the last 2 years. They now watch regularly online, faithfully online. They want to be a part of the South Fork family, even though their situation probably will not allow them to come into this room anytime soon. But this man writes, "Matt, I really enjoyed your sermon Sunday using our talents. God gives us talents and resources, and he doesn't look for results or for return on investment, but for a deeper relationship with us, his children." And then he goes on to explain a couple of things that he's learned in his life, he's used in his life to help people identify their talents and put those into work for the Lord. I don't know. New is exciting. I don't know how to work with people who are fully online. But what a great opportunity that is, because so many people, for health reasons, maybe are not able to join us. Last but not least, I want to share with you about the E, the energy. If I go back to thinking of hiking, I remember when I was a kid, my dad would take us hiking. My dad is a wonderful man who continues to give more than what he expected from us. I mean, he would just serve us in every way. We went hiking or camping. I would carry my sleeping bag, a bottle of water, and a couple granola bars. My backpack was light, and I was just hopping and skipping and jumping all the way down the trail. My dad, on the other hand, had the tent, the pots and pans, the food, all the extra clothes that we might need, and he was weighed down. And it came to no surprise that as we got down the trail, me and my brothers were a mile or two ahead, and we finally realized, where's Dad? We better stop and wait. And so we'd stop and take a rest and play with the rocks and twigs and cause a little bit of trouble. And finally, my dad would come huffing and puffing and catch up with us. All right, we're rested. Let's go. And off we would go. As a father now, I see the challenge of what that is. And so what we've started to do is, when we're taking a hike, whoever is that last person who's lagging, after we take a break together, we'll put that last person in front. And it's amazing how being in front gives you a whole new perspective, a brand new spirit and energy. And often that person that was just lagging, who's dragging their feet and just kind of walking along and feeling so tired, now they are in the front and they are skipping and jumping and hopping and laughing and having a good time. And we would rotate that last person to the front, and it kept us together as a family as we hiked. And I wonder if that's not the case sometimes for us within the church, that as we walk along, there's somebody who's going through a challenging time at work, challenging time at home, a challenging time with relationships, and they just seem to drag a little bit further and further and further behind. If we would just walk with them and share with them our experiences. Maybe those who have experienced a death in your family, saddle up next to somebody who's going through that same challenge, or a loss in business. Saddle up next to somebody who's going through that challenge. And as we walk together, we share the energy, we share the challenges, and we lighten the load for both, and we're able to walk a little bit further. And now we get to the end of that mile, and both of us have a little bit more energy, and now we can turn and we can look to see those others who need our help, because we're going to be leaders, we're going to be initiators, we're going to jump right in the value and the connections of life. Doesn't our energy get multiplied as we walk together with one another? Chapter 25. Jesus tells the story of a master who goes off, and he gives his servants some gold. And Scripture says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 19, it says, "After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant, that you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share in the master's joy." As we live our life with a God-given talents, utilizing His glory and His honor, may we see the need, not the need, the blessing of never walking alone. And it starts from the youngest within this crowd to the oldest within this crowd. Because there always is someone that we can learn from and someone that we can grab a hold of and help in this journey of life. And isn't that what God said about the church? That when we walk hand in hand, that when we love one another, the world will know that we are His disciples. And when the church acts like this, there's nothing Satan can do. There's no way that we will be conquered. We will succeed in what God has given us to do. This morning, if you've been walking alone, I want you to pull an elder aside and ask for guidance and direction. This morning, if you've been walking alone and trying to serve alone, I want you to find someone where you can really serve and bless their life and instill in them something of value. This morning, if we've been alone, we've been without what God has already provided for us. Let's change that direction. Let's unite one another, and let's be the church that God has called us to be. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take my life. May